Motorsport. Picture this with the Manappy soles and blazers and have fun. If you can't, then you blew it. I'm thinking I have to paint you one.
I'm going to paint a sepia panorama so full of life. The painting will come alive, baby, blues and full of drama and all the sweet. So this is my
bad. That's all. It's a fuller rhythm.
And then
my goal is to the rhythm. What's this? What's this? Completion.
And cherry.
That thing. Catch it. And
catch it.
Get down with me. You'll be pretty proud. Get down with me. Tell about it all the time. Get down with me. Dig out the
shadows.
Now I'm studying proud.
Studying proud.
Look at proud.
Oh yeah. Proud is the big one. Oh yeah. That's what you really meant.
Proud.
Oh yeah. That's how I'm studying proud.
We're putting down. Studying proud. Get proud.
Thus ends another great big band show. And we thank our DJ Joe for, again, another great 3 hours of big band music during Radiothon 2010. This is the time, folks. This is the week. Only 2 days to go. We need to get over the top. We're not there yet. The phone number here in the studio is 313-845-9676. Option one. And so please call right now with a generous pledge. It's WHFR Dearborn, don't you know? All volunteer student and alumni staff from Henry Ford Community College. And now for this next hour is our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Happy to have you with us today on a special Radiothon edition of the new WHFR Journal. Local news and alternative views. We have people waiting on the phones, 313-845-9676, ready to take your pledge now, or you can go to our website, whfr.fm. But we don't want to hold back all the news and information that we do once a week here on this show, and so we're going to try to cover those topics. We have scheduled Mayor John B. O'Reilly to be with us today, and he's not arrived yet, probably trying to get here through West Dearborn on Michigan Avenue, and probably discovering, if he hasn't before, how slow that gets around lunchtime hours, even 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, your tax dollars at work, and it'll be great when it's done. If it finishes on time, that'll be mid-July. So I'm here with, in the studio, Dennis and Amy, our WHFR news team. Glad to have you guys with us today. Let's check your microphones.
Good afternoon, Jay. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Jay.
Okay, I think that's close enough.
I think we're okay.
Yeah. We have a bunch of questions for Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. when he arrives, and he knows that. That's probably why he's a little trying to shave his time here with us, because, boy, we'll get tough.
I've got his tax returns from 2006.
Yeah, we've done our research here, so look out. No, seriously, folks, we do have to say that the big headline, we're going to talk about that right now and briefly, is that the Dearborn neighborhood pools have been saved. There was part of a proposal to make budget cuts, which the city must do. About $20 million of cuts have to be done by the city. That is by Mayor O'Reilly's recommendation and city council approval by July this year. And so these cuts are coming. Where they cut is sort of up to you folks, you listeners. Let them know what your feelings are. Certainly when one of the proposals was to eliminate six of Dearborn's eight public pools, and there was about 100 people out of the 100,000 people in Dearborn that raised their voices and said, save our pools. Of course, there was some trade-off in the proposal, and that was they were going to build a new pool, okay, and they were going to renovate the other pools, and they were going to open during summer some school pools. Some of our schools in Dearborn have pools, but they're indoor pools. So I think that's great. If you don't like the sun, if you're afraid of the sun, you could go and use some of the school pools, which are normally, I believe, closed all through the summer. But cost estimates were questioned. And at this point, and I think this is because of a meeting Monday afternoon, the Press and Guide from this Wednesday, 2 days ago, April 14th, indicates that the pools will not be closed this year. So they're going to keep status quo this year. But it has been mentioned, and is mentioned here too, all the numbers that were requested by Michael Albano in his editorial from Sunday, which the mayor must have read and got his people working on by the Monday afternoon meeting with the public. He indicated that, well, what's it going to cost to decommission these pools? You know, dig them up, cover them over. That's got to be a fortune. But the city claims, and I'd like to know details on this, that besides the $250,000 operating budget for all of them, that the repairs, which have to be done over the next 5 years, probably some pools sooner or later, but they'd have to spend in order to keep them in good shape, over $500,000 on each pool. $550,000 on each pool. That's $2.7 million for repairs, almost $800,000 for plumbing, and another $110,000 almost for maintenance, for general maintenance. They also charge something, $25,000 for pool assessments. I don't know what that is. Dennis?
My question is, are they going to have to put any money into the pools if they're going to keep them open another year? So in other words, why $550,000?
Right. Well, the one more year, it looks like it's just maybe the $100,000 for maintenance, $25,000 for pool assessments, whatever that is, and the $250,000 operating budget, which is probably mostly personnel.
Right.
Although maybe there's electrical bills or something for heating or recycling the water. I don't know what's figured in there as such. And we're getting a phone call here, so hang on. And Dennis is going to take that call.
HFR, can I take your pledge?
So that is good for the people that want to have their pools saved. Okay. It is really a great thing that for the people that wanted the pools open, that it's going to be open more. But I know that the city just can't afford that $3 million sometime in the next several years. They just can't afford that. And so they're going to have to... come up with that money or close some pools. And of course, interesting question is that how much is going to be the decommissioning of those six pools or more? How many is it going to, where are they going to get the money from that to decommission the pools? Is it going to be more than the $2.7 million for repairs? Of course, once the act is done, then they don't have to worry about those repairs in the future. So there'll be some sort of payback, as they say, with energy installations and so on in a couple of years after the pools are decommissioned. But it's going to cost them probably millions to dig up and cover over the pools. Although, in some cases, maybe just dump dirt in them and make them a big garden or something.
But aren't they planning on completely leveling them like they never existed? That was the plans that I had
think
read.
They have to do that. Yeah. I don't think they can keep all the pipes and everything there. There'll be something will start growing that you don't want.
Absolutely.
Or fungus liability. Or mold or liability. Sure. Tripped over the edge of the pool that they didn't expect to be there, even though it was now a truck garden or something. It wouldn't hurt to grow a few trucks, in fact. You know, we need some extra vehicles for the city. I just wonder if some of the cuts, too, I was going to ask the mayor, if some of the cuts are similar to what the city of Detroit did. For example, does the city of Dearborn provide any cars for any public officials like the mayor? They're cutting all city-sponsored cars from the budget in the city of Detroit, I understand, including the one for the mayor, I guess.
Right.
Mayor Bing won't have a car paid for by the city. Although it seems fair to pay them the allowance
mileage.
For the mileage,
sure.
That would seem fair if it's on business trips for the city. Okay, so that's the pools are saved for 1 year, and for those that like the pools, that's fine. I made a list here, and this is controversial, and you know, I was going to ask the mayor, too. What would you want to cut? What would you be able to cut? We asked a couple of our WHFR staff members who live in Dearborn. They don't really care that much, and it was on the list about loose leaf pickup. As long as the city does pick up leaves from trash barrels or from paper bags, the loose leaf pickup, they didn't really care about that. It is a safety hazard. All those leaves piled up, they could, if they're dry, they could start on fire because the car sits on top of them or drives over them. They do blow back on your lawn. If it gets windy after you rake them in the street, they blow back. It requires the city to have a team clean them up. I mean, it's not just one or two people. That's a big cost.
It's a convoy.
Yeah, it's a convoy
really
comes in. Yeah, with scoops and shovels and blowers, and they got to... And they don't do that great a job sometimes because of wet leaves sticking to the pavement. And
exactly.
That. It's really tough. Last year, in fact, a year or two before, they had individuals going down and with a really big broom and individually sweeping up those difficult leaves that were sort of matted down and all wet on the pavement. I didn't see those people coming in the last year. Maybe they cut back on the individual workers.
I would think that that would be the first cut, sure.
Or cut the rakes and brooms out of the budget.
And I have to say that the street snow plowing, I don't need it at 6 inches. At 6 inches,
right.
I don't need that. I can get out of my drive just fine. If they'd raise that to, say, 12 inches,
right.
10 or 12, okay. But I mean, really, that's serious enough that a lot of people, depending on their cars, have real trouble getting down the street. But you have to realize, and I realize, that when they do the snow plowing, that you get about the equivalent of twice the number of inches at the bottom of your drive.
Oh, because of the plow, sure.
Yeah,
and it's
because
hard
of the
packed.
Plow. So 6 inches means I got a shovel. And it's true, just a short, okay, I got a double driveway size. I mean, it's
right.
Two-car width, you know. So it takes me a little while to get those 12 inches shoveled away. And I think it's about 10 or 12 inches where most people have trouble with their cars getting through. Now, of course, if it's 12 inches, you're going to have 2 feet at the bottom of your drive.
Right.
And that's just the way it goes. Yeah. You know, you got a lot of shoveling to do there anyway. So I think that is important. As Mayor O'Reilly said, I think, and we did broadcast his State of the City address here on WHFR, thanks to the efforts of Dennis, Amy, and also Kristen was there. And was Lindsay?
No.
No, Lindsay wasn't there at that event. But
she was there in spirit.
Our news team was there. And as the mayor said, some people are upset because they're afraid that the city's going to stop clearing their sidewalks. Well, the city hasn't cleared sidewalks in 25 years or more in Dearborn.
And I was wondering because I keep waiting and nothing.
Yeah, well, you're going to keep waiting a long time. That was one of the cutbacks, I think Mayor O'Reilly said, that his dad had to do
right.
in 83.
That's right.
And people still think that's happening or they're afraid it's going to stop. And no, you have the responsibility now of shoveling your own sidewalks. And if you have one, I'm in a neighborhood with no sidewalks. Anyway, but
how does the mail carrier, do you have your
no, they walk on the street.
No kidding.
And they walk up the drive, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So we get mail delivery, but
that may be why it's important, and at least in your neighborhood, that they shovel, or I'm sorry, they plow a little bit earlier than they would elsewhere. You know what I mean? So the mail, because isn't that one of the reasons why it's
no,
so
the mail must go through. They're going to use dog teams and
I would pay
snowshoes.
Pigeons.
Yeah,
but not on Saturday in the future. I don't know when they're cutting off Saturday, but...
they've been talking about that for
well,
a while.
Our federal mail, U.S. mail system is so deeply in debt now, and it looks like the government's not going to bail them out, bail out the banks but and the auto companies, but not the postal system. So we're going to have to lose Saturday delivery, but I think we can adjust to that, except those poor delivery people on Monday, they've got 3 days mail, not just 2 days mail back up to deliver all at once.
Right.
You know. Oh, well. So I'm just giving some ideas, and the libraries. The library proposal that came up, this was... Monday the 12th, there was a final meeting, and from our community activist on this point, Okay, don't have in front. That's all right. I can summarize it. Basically, seven full-time librarians are going to lose their job, along with 30 people in the city. And that seven is not part of the 30, folks. No. So we're going to lose a lot of professional services at all of our local libraries. And I think this is a major concern for all of us. The proposal was, as I understand most of it from memory here, is that all the reference collections, magazine subscriptions and so on, are going to go to the main library, Central Centennial Library on Michigan Avenue, and near the police station and the court buildings and so on. All the programming, which means special lectures, maybe children's programs, seemingly is going to go to the main library, so not the other ones. One of the concerns I think I've had for years is that the local neighborhood libraries are not going to be open on Saturdays in the summer. And in the summertime is the time when the kids can't have access to the school libraries, and I think that's really an issue. You want them playing on the streets? I guess you want them to go jump in the pool or something, since we still have that, but we're not going to have Saturday library times if we even had them in the past. They've been limiting hours. So the satellite libraries, the libraries in the neighborhoods, are not going to have too much left to go. They're going to have one full-time person, and they're going to need volunteers to cover the other hours. And you say, well, they just, as one of our staff members said to me, I think facetiously, they just sit there behind the desk anyway. They don't really do anything. Excuse me, there's all the cataloging and the reviewing and answering questions. And I think the most important thing, which may only go to the main library in the future, is the reference questions. If people have a need to know, what, are they supposed to just surf the web indefinitely? I mean, a Google search alone doesn't necessarily get you the information, or very quickly, especially if you get 200,000 responses to your Google search. You need professionals, librarians, who know to find information. And I do believe, yes, we need those print resources, those hard copy resources, in at least the central library. And everything about Dearborn that we know, should be there in a print form somehow. Okay, maybe they microfiche it or electronically scan it, but it's got to be there saved for future generations. Otherwise, electronically, poof, it can disappear. Bad hard drive, electrical outage, fries the computers. We've got to have tremendous backups on the information that we need to know and remember, especially about Dearborn and the local area. And we need to be that key resource for the world about our own local area. If they need to know something, they come here, they get here by internet or whatever, and we can find it, and we can find the hard copy stuff too. So I'm very concerned about, I'm concerned about the kids not learning the joy of books. I don't know the funding for libraries in our public schools, but I bet it's not very high. I bet it's been cut too. I bet they said, well, just go to the public library for your research on this topic. Excuse me, public libraries, for a variety of reasons, don't often carry academic books, books that have high level of information, books that are not, easy to read, fun reading. That's what public libraries have had mostly in the past. And with the major all the reference collections going to the Centennial, it's going to be a major issue. I was forwarded by our local activists, a recent report from the American Library Association, just released this Monday, in fact. Recession, this is for the whole United States of America. And by the way, this pledge week for WHFR, have you pledged yet? Have you said you want to continue our local news and alternative programming shows? We do some on Tuesday. We do this show on Friday. Well, if you haven't, right now's the time to do it. 313-845-9676. And we have an option one. We'll take you to not our studio. Don't worry about interrupting us. We've got someone in our B studio, only one backup studio. But Michael is sitting over there now to take your call. 313-845-9676, option one. Make a pledge of support right now. Nobody does it like we do it. And we do it for you, loyal listeners, right here in Dearborn and the surrounding area, with us all volunteer student staff, myself and two others. We're paid for by the college as part-time teachers. We're not even full-time here. Part-time teachers, And thank you, Henry Ford Community College, for paying for some of these funds. But Dennis, Amy, they just grin and bear it. And they're mostly grinning because they're doing it the way they want to do it.
Well, along with everyone else on the staff.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
There's a lot of volunteer commitment, and a little money goes a long way at this radio station.
And we are not told what to say. That's the thing I just keep thinking. And, of course, that's your QJ.
Yeah, I'm going to cut you off now, but
Well, the disclaimer.
Yeah, of course, the opinions expressed on this show, and we only have to say this once an hour, as far as I know, is that the opinions here are not necessarily those of anyone at Henry Ford Community College. They don't tell us to say this or not, and we appreciate that freedom of speech. We try to be responsible. If you like the responsibility that we take, and most of the staff here, the vast majority, for no money at all, to help keep this information flowing in the community and the music that no other station plays in Detroit because, I don't know, ratings, whatever. We have more variety, more good music, big band, blues, folk, than any other local Detroit station. And we support local artists more than any other station, too. You like that idea? You like that concept? Want to see it continue? You're the ones that will make it happen. 60% of our budget comes from you. It has to. There's no other place. Maybe the city of Dearborn will have to do a fundraising drive over our station for itself someday. But for the time being, this is just for us here.
Right.
The number is 313-845-9676. Option 1. Mike can tell you all about pledge incentives if you need them. All kinds of things going on. Back to the American Library Association concept. And again, this is National Library Week. They don't get a month, they just get a week. But in the whole nation, this is the week you're supposed to especially think about your local library.
They used to get a month, but they had to cut back.
Yeah. Nice. When jobs go away, the report says, Americans turn to their libraries to find information about future employment or educational opportunities. Yeah, right. Internet use continues to expand at public libraries, which had a double-digit growth since 2007. 96% of Americans feel that school libraries, are an essential part of the educational experience, as I do. And they can't be cut, but I bet they have been. That's a Dearborn Public School issue, not the city of Dearborn issue, though. And the academic libraries are experiencing increased use, like here at Henry Ford Community College. Both our physical libraries and virtual libraries. Many of the libraries, including Henry Ford Community College, have ways to access their information by computer from off-site, but primarily for our students, of course, who are the ones that are doing the specific learning and are desperate for that information. The library community continues to defend a core value embodied in the First Amendment and the corollary right to receive and consider ideas, information, and images. And so they don't appreciate that USA Patriot Act, by the way, which cut into library use and freedom of use of materials via public access, and I don't either. That had nothing to do with patriotism. It has to do with socialism, the Patriot Act. The terrorists have won if we continue restricting our freedoms here in the U.S. We won't go into that now.
Is it restricting the freedoms or monitoring them?
In effect, the monitoring can restrict freedom, too.
Oh, definitely.
Depending on how they do it. But if the Patriot Act is in place, as soon as somebody wants a book on terrorism, immediately they can be put on that no-fly list or sequestered, that is, arrested. And it's not even arrest. They just put you somewhere in seclusion. They don't have to tell anybody about it. They don't have to get you a lawyer. You know, I thought that stuff, that detainment, maybe for years, I thought that only happened in Russia or Nazi Germany, and that's why the Patriot Act is so insidious and so disturbing to a country that loves its freedoms and responsibility.
Well, I don't know if the prisons have enough room for all the sixth graders doing book reports, so it could get pretty pretty messy pretty quick.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought.
Okay, we're looking at other topics here. That's the library issue. Mayor O'Reilly is not arrived yet. We have called a couple times this week to his office and haven't got the word that he was tied up. But, you know, maybe they're on the top of some big budget-cutting decision right now.
Or maybe he's searching out some pledges, getting some matching pledges
throughout
the
office.
That's right.
He's going to come in with a whole stack of pledge forms from us.
That's what we're expecting now.
I would want to if it were me.
You know, it used to be that mayors in City Hall used to go door-to-door taking up or their staff taking up pledges for various causes. That's been shown, like the re-election of the mayor, that's been shown to be unfair and illegal. I think for WHFR, there wouldn't be too bad. Now, there's other great nonprofits in this city that need your help. Again, the libraries don't take money directly, although maybe they do. Maybe they've got a little Dropbox at the front for coins or something.
It's called overdue library fines.
Yeah, I actually think, like many cities, that we need a guarantee, as the police and fire have it here, for certain city services to be minimally funded every year. And I think the libraries are one of those that, that need that sort of guarantee, whether it comes from a bond issue, millage issue, however it is. I think from all the studies, the people of Dearborn want certain services and information available, especially in times of crisis. You know, they need the, these resources of public information. And maybe if it has to be, a burden carried by the whole city, there are some things that deserve that. As you know, if you listen to the show in the past, I believe in the right to health care for everyone. And that is paid for by our collective tax dollars. And that's not happening yet, but we're involved in healthcare reform nationally. I wanted to ask the mayor if any of those initiatives nationally that are now, you know, you can read the bill, you can see exactly what it might have to do in terms of the city, impact for the city. Will that help them with their healthcare costs in the city? I know Mayor O'Reilly spoke favorably of Representative Andy Dillon's proposal for Michigan healthcare plan for public employees. That would be teachers, but also police, fire, I don't know, maybe other people at city halls. Are they public employees that work at city hall in the cities around Michigan? So has the current federal health reform, is that going to impact and save Dearborn any money, at least short term, from our budgets? We don't know that. So got a lot of questions here to ask. Okay. I wanted to ask about the November election. We did mention that in November, two things. Mayor O'Reilly has already given a speech, stated he's in favor of the constitutional reforms for the state of Michigan, for the Constitution of Michigan, to be explored, to be debated, to be worked out. If there's good ideas that need to come to pass, 2 years from November, they will be brought back to us as voters to say yes or no as a package. And we haven't had constitutional reform for decades. And some of those might be good for the city. There was like 18 different things identified in the Press and Guide article. Our mayor speaking for our yes vote towards that goal so that things can be turned around in the state. And maybe that would mean more funding for the city or fewer costs for the city. But also there's the 15th District representative to be elected to Lansing. And right now we have Linda Tefelsky, who is the mother of Tom Tefelsky on City Council. He is the council president. George DeRaney, who's on the council, has announced his intention. And on the Democratic side, he and Linda Tefelsky will be at least two on the ballot for the August primary election. So voters can decide which is the best Democrat. And that's two people from the council. Another person from the council, Suzanne Serini, we mentioned last time, has now announced, and I don't know if she officially has taken out the documents, but she has announced, and that she's going to be on the Republican side, may have a challenger, maybe in the primary then, if there is no Republican challenger, and there usually isn't because they're just happy anybody with a name is going to be running, since in Detroit area, including Dearborn, more than likely the Democrats win. It's just been the history, and sorry, folks, and so the Republicans, if they have a named candidate, and although Suzanne Serini mentioned she has not been a Republican Party participant locally, I think they will welcome her, and I bet they will encourage other Republicans not to win and not to run in the primary so they don't muddy the waters for Republican right. voters. It's up to them, of course. It's their party, what little remains. I'm sorry. You know, they were a majority party a couple years ago, and they're not anymore. But in the Detroit area, they haven't been a majority influence for quite a while. And I'd like to see what the mayor feels about people leaving the council. Obviously, that leaves open some slots. And since I don't think there's anyone running for council in November, it's not a council election year, that means that some of the people that didn't make it in okay. the top slots, obviously they're only going to lose either Doreney or Serini. And if Linda Tefelsky wins, they won't lose anyone in the council. But they'll only lose one person. But that I'm just wondering, who's the next person down in the last election? Because they would automatically be promoted. Do you remember, Dennis?
I do. It was a former council person.
It was. Okay.
That dropped down below a guest of our show.
Wasn't Doug Thomas.
No.
No? He was down a couple, I think.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Doug. Okay, well, he doesn't know, but
we'll yeah. find out.
It wasn't one of the ones that got
I thought
a
it was
going
to be a challenger. They got the WHFR bump. I thought they were the next one down.
But. Well, since we don't know, that's what That's what it was.
Okay, fine.
We'll look in the archives.
We'll look into that.
Really? Oh,
so
okay.
We'll see what Amy
archives.
Yeah, she's going to Google it in her notebook.
Right.
Okay. Not a notebook computer, but a real notebook, folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a walk-in library. I've got tons of pages.
This is WHFR Journal halfway through here. We're going to take a brief pause to listen to Jim. It's not a pause. You better not pause, because Jim Hightower is going to talk about an important issue for us. And he calls it, and it has to do with Dearborn, and in fact, the train depot here and trains in America in general. This is entitled Riding into the Future. WHFR Journal, WHFR radio station pledge drive this week. You'll be so unhappy and feel so guilty if you didn't give us a pledge. 313-845-9676. I will haunt you, I swear. Bad vibes. You believe in spiritual things? I don't, but bad vibes, I will try to send them out. We need your support. Yeah, the journal? Yeah, as long as the microphone works and the headphones and the console and the electricity, we can be here. Otherwise, we can't. Okay? And you don't want to lose this kind of city resource run by volunteers. So
this just in, Jay.
Yes.
Let's see. If we're not...
Deep from Amy's notebook.
Yeah. Brian O'Donnell.
Okay. Yep. WHFR bump, Brian O'Donnell.
No,
he made it.
He made it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Who's
below?
Would be Nancy Hubbard.
Oh, right? No, Nancy also made it. Is it David Bazzi? Six, seven? How many have we got?
Yeah, I thought it was a
one,
challenger.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. David Bazzi.
Oh,
right.
I stand
okay,
corrected.
So it's David Bazzi.
All right.
And did he come and talk?
Yes,
to
he
us?
Sure
he
did.
Certainly
yes,
did.
Right. So the WHFR bump will kick in again.
A little belated.
If someone leaves the console because they were elected to 15th district rep. Okay. That number, 313-845-9676. Option one, please talk to Mike this hour. Mayor Riley was scheduled. He's not here yet. Something came up. We know. We hope it wasn't really bad. Hope there's not a crisis. I think he's stuck in traffic in West Dearborn. But no, that's a bad joke. In any event, you know we try, and you've got to be in there with us. You've got to be helping us. 313-845-9676. Option one, please make a generous pledge phone call right now. And Jim Hightower is going to tell us how we can ride into the future. We'll be right back on the new WHFR Journal, Making Waves, 313-845-9676.
Okay, maybe you're one who still stews about Ralph Nader's presidential campaigns, but give the guy credit for his lifetime of confronting corporate arrogance, his inventive thinking to produce effective reforms, and his tireless advocacy for economic fairness and social justice. Nader's great strength is that he has always been a big thinker, willing to propose solutions that at first blush seemed to be impossible. He's at it again, this time with, of all things, a novel bearing the un-Nader-esque title of Only the Super Rich Can Save Us. Using such real-life characters as Warren Buffett, Bill Cosby, George Soros, and Yoko Ono, Nader imagines a meeting in Maui at which 17 of these older, unconventional, super-rich philanthropists realize that their individual charitable donations to various good guy causes are not making any widespread difference in how things work. So they decide to pool their mega billions into a unified agenda for structural, economic, and political change that can transform America into a true egalitarian society. Nader's novel is the tale of a titanic power struggle that ensues, including dramatic moments of intrigue and, who would believe it, romping humor. The significance of this work is that Nader sees it not as a novel, but, quote, a fictional vision that might come true. For example, what if such a group actually put $50 or $100 billion behind the single-payer Medicare for All healthcare ideal? That would alter the political dynamic, rally the grassroots, and make true reform possible. This is Jim Hightower saying Nader is already having conversations with a few of his super-rich characters who are at least intrigued by his audacious vision. To connect with the real-life effort behind the novel, go to www.onlythesuperrich.org. Imagine if life were to imitate fiction.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publishers of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Okay, that was the wrong spot, and I downloaded that from Hightower's website, but apparently they, I read the writing into the future words, and I will tell you about it. But Ralph Nader's book I have too, and I have an autographed copy, and it's pretty interesting, but it's so optimistic that the super rich will save us. You know, only the super rich will save us. That's the title of it, and after beating his head into the ground looking for a grassroots movement for 60 years, Ralph, has this fantasy that he put down in the book, and maybe it is an encouragement for a couple of super rich to come in and jump in and put their money where their mouth is. And certainly Warren Buffett already is doing that. He believes in higher taxes for the rich, and he's one of the rich. And Buffett does pretty, I think Buffett probably gave Ralph the idea that, gee, if you only had a couple dozen billionaires rise to the occasion here, they could bail out the country and put us on the green industry direction, set up health care for everybody really quick. And I know, as someone who's retired and has a steady income, and because of 40 years of college service here and teaching, that steady income, I'm willing to spend more in my taxes if I'm going to get the right benefit. And I hate to be picky about it. As a lifelong pacifist, that is a believer that war does not solve problems but only makes more, and I know majority of people disagree, certain presidents of the United States, like the last several, disagree with that. But I'll hold my, hold to my guns, but I don't have any guns to hold to. I don't want my money going primarily to war efforts. War, not just defense, war. And especially war that doesn't seem to have any end, or war that doesn't seem to have any good consequence. No weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq. Only about 100 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Taliban, they're not Al-Qaeda. I know, they're friends, they're buddies, but we never could catch Osama, and it shouldn't take a couple $1 trillion a year to catch Osama. But if you're waging a land war in Afghanistan, trying to free them for democracy, when they don't even want democracy, obviously, where that isn't their tradition. You know, we tried to save Somalia, too. That didn't work out so well. Bosnia's ethnic cleansing, I think we kind of brought to a halt. But, oh my gosh, we can't save the world, folks. And our wars don't make us safer. They make us more broke. At least the war is the way we've been fighting them so far. Okay, editorial opinion there. Amy?
But no, I was just going to say, when you started talking about Afghanistan, and really what we need is a more of an intelligence strategy in fighting and finding out where our 100 Al-Qaeda persons are, rather than sending troops over there, spending billions and billions. And this is money that we'll be paying long after the war is over in veterans' costs and issues that we haven't even...
Interest on national debt. Yes.
Sure. Yes.
Huge.
We're not even facing now all the repercussions that veterans are going through that... sometimes the government doesn't even admit to, and right. There's so many different areas where
I mean the
we're
wars
keep paying for this.
These wars, Iraq and Afghanistan, and I know we're going international rather than just staying local here, but it does involve all of us because of the national debt and also the death of people who go to serve in these wars from our local communities. Just to wrap this up, I guess you'd have to say that. Iraq and Afghanistan are two wars that the American taxpayer will pay for much later after the fact.
Oh, sure.
In World War II and even Vietnam, they raised taxes. Or World War II, they asked us to buy war bonds and to cut back on various resources, and to recycle and reuse and reduce. And my parents went through all kinds of that. Why? Before the war effort.
Right.
No sacrifice needed. Let's go to Iraq and Afghanistan and spend trillions more than any other wars. You don't have to pay a penny.
And
don't,
not only that,
you don't have to pay a penny.
Keep buying more things, right. Buy bigger things, buy bigger cars, using more gas, using more energy. No sacrifice,
right.
And very short term.
Right. The only thing that should be supported by government, and I was going to ask Mayor O'Reilly today, the only thing that should be supported here is green industry, green business, green jobs. And I know I do want to get the city of Dearborn. I just discovered this because of a Sierra Club person. Dave Norwood is the coordinator of Dearborn Sustainability, and he's preparing a document publicly, and I heard from the Sierra Club coordinator, but not from the mayor, that in May sometime, that Dave Norwood is going to be presenting this to the city council. That is, improvements and savings the city can make in a green direction. That is not overusing our resources, recycling, reducing, reusing, and generating jobs, perhaps, for people right here in the city of Dearborn because of that. So that's maybe we can get Dave Norwood on here sometime in the future, too, if he gets his proposal together. On the cityofdearborn.org website, the Green Initiatives, Dearborn Sustainability, the Green Dearborn Plan, basically is one that they would like people in the city to contribute to, contribute your ideas to Dave, and I have some here. We do want to thank Robert in Dearborn for a generous pledge of support to WHFR this hour, and we do really appreciate that. One of our logo items that's been very popular, by the way, at the 52 pledge level, is our WHFR logo travel mug. Yeah, it's silkscreen. We want to say that, also that Robert has mentioned that he's with Ford Motor Company, I don't know, retired or not, but I hope they have a matching grant program in place right now that'll double the pledge. Thank you for mentioning that you're with Ford, Robert. And also, he wants to say he wants to dedicate to the HFCC Tappers. And is anybody listening from the HFCC Tappers? Rob from Westside Tappers is who called, I guess. And so, hey, all you tappers out there, all your Ford Motor Company employees, we're helping you. We have our Village Ford Fusion Hybrid drawing for anyone that pledges $25 or more, and we want to thank Village Ford, for that. And we want to thank Ford for coming up with a hybrid idea. Although I heard a crazy thing from the head of some government agency yesterday. He went on some national news and said all hybrids are unsafe. Well, that's the headline. What's the story? Oh, they're too quiet.
What?
The people don't hear them coming and they get run over. Well, duh, right. You got to have an active pedestrian. I was taught in school to look both ways or three or four ways before you step into the street. Number two, so you look. You don't listen for the cars and the people driving them. Watch out for pedestrians. Give me a break. I don't like noise pollution. My city of Dearborn is too polluted in several ways, and one way is noise, and part of that noise is the big trucks and the big cars. I heard a Camaro, a brand new one, it was a six-cylinder, drive by me today. It's a six-cylinder, for God's sake. It shouldn't sound like that. I've got a six-cylinder that outperform their six-cylinder. It doesn't make that noise. That's why you get a sporty car. Well, yeah, you just cut the muffler in half and it'll sound bad, but the way it comes from the factory is noisy. Shame on them. Shame on if you want performance and handling and ability to, accelerate rapidly and do corners quick. Does it have to make noise at the same time? It doesn't have to. Okay, that's another opinion of Jay Koronick and perhaps no one else here at Henry Ford. Thank you, Robert, for that pledge. What's that pledge number? You want to get into that support for the Westside Tappers and Ford Motor Company and their hybrid, which we're offering as a incentive? Yeah, another reason to give us a $25 or better pledge. 313-845-9676. Option 1, live studio. Michael is still online, and so is Kristen over there waiting for your generous donation. Anything $25 or above gets you into the hybrid drawing. One lucky winner will get that. And that mug, $52 pledge, it's a 16-ounce stainless steel mug. It's got a plastic liner, on the inside, so you don't burn your lips too much. But also, so you don't burn your fingers on the outside, it's got a leather-like cover. And that's where the WHFR logo is. So it doesn't have a handle because sometimes that doesn't fit so well in your car holders. But it's real classy looking. I think you'll enjoy. We haven't had a WHFR mug offer for the last couple of years. 313-845-9676. Dennis, did you have an angle of story? You raised your hand for a fraction of a second.
Well, I was just coming in to let you know that we will not have a guest in person on the show today. There was it was a miscommunication. It was definitely not the mayor's fault, and I'm waiting for a call back, so that was why I raised.
Okay, we'll find out when the mayor's going to reschedule that.
Yes.
So a miscommunication at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somebody's head is going to roll for that. Okay.
Sorry, Dennis.
Yeah, and it quite possibly will be mine.
No, he's not a City Hall. No, Dennis, as our news director here, not only did we schedule several months ago and confirm, but he's called several times this week and did not get an answer back.
I did not get a call, but I did, in fact, call the wrong office. So that
Well, that doesn't help, but
no, that didn't.
There are a lot of offices.
I think we see the result of that right
they
now.
They all go to the mayor, though. All lines
well,
lead to the mayor.
Finally, the buck stops there.
That's
yeah.
right.
For the mayor's sake, did you know he designed, there's a little press release from Mary Landrosh, his office in City Hall, mayor designed a vase. Now, because it's very expensive, that's pronounced vase.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was less expensive, it would be
a vase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A vase. The mayor's vase is going to be raffled off at the annual First Ladies Tea. His wife, beautiful wife Christina, is going to be hosting the First Ladies Tea at 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 1st, not too far away. That's at the Dearborn Hills Country Club. That's the city golf course that we run. I wonder if that's on the block to be cut. They make a profit from it, as they do Camp Dearborn, which they're thinking of selling too. Except they Camp Dearborn, the criteria is they've got to get it rezoned. I don't
right.
know, commercial or residential or something. But very valuable property at
oh,
Camp
definitely.
Dearborn. If they got it rezoned for either commercial or residential or a combination, they could make millions. And I really think maybe $50 million would be conservative for all that land up there in Milford and so on.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of land out there.
Right. By the way, in 15 minutes today, we're going to have our Highway 61 special Radiothon 2010 show. Joanne Korchinska returns to the airwaves. We're so happy to have her back here with us again, especially for our pledge drive. And we see some of the great Detroit Blues Society volunteers are coming in with her, too. And she's rolling in place for that. But you can call right now to the pledge drive, although she's got some great blues pledge incentives to toss into the mix if you're interested in those. But right now, we've got our usual stuff, and we need your support at WHFR.FM. This is our once-a-year, one-week-only pledge drive, the only WHFR journal show where we're going to be asking for your pledges. 313-845-9676, option one. Call now. Don't put it off. Okay, back to the mayor's vase here. Going to be raffled. It is beautiful. And it was designed by Mayor O'Reilly himself. It was created by the Dearborn Glass Academy, showing off their skills.
Mm-hmm.
But it is absolutely beautiful. It's modern. I don't have the color picture here. Amy can see the shape.
Yeah.
But it's basically blue with a gold spiral of glass that goes around the base. And it's lovely. So maybe the mayor in his next life should get into
designing.
Glass design,
yes.
You know. In any event, a multi-talented mayor, and he will be with us, if it wasn't for the miscommunication, in the future, as soon as we can reschedule. We don't want to think that City Hall has these snafus every day, though.
This has got to be a first.
Oh.
It's unfortunate it happened with us,
right.
But this must be a first.
There's never a mistake in building and safety. There's never a mistake in about the combined sewer overflow project. Never a mistake in East or West Dearborn development. I wanted to find out, because I think it was Monday night's city council meeting, whether or not Hakeem Fakhouri, he was to make his last proposal, last chance for either an extension or a change in the document. I know one of the reasons he didn't sign that document, he got an extension last
December, okay.
Right? And I read the details in the story in the Press and Guide from last Sunday, is that if he signed the document and something went wrong, he wouldn't have a chance to sue the city.
Oh.
He had to promise never to sue them if something went wrong with that agreement.
Well, I don't know if I'd be signing off on that either.
I think the city tosses that hold safe clause into everything, every document they send out. Sure. And I maybe those of us that love the city like to have that prevention. Although I think also it doesn't mean anything, Hakeem. I think it's the right to sue for any reason. You can even sue for having to sign a contract with that unjust proposal in there. I mean, you can sue at any time for any reason, and maybe the courts will agree with you that it's unfair, if it was unfair, even though you said you wouldn't sue, okay? Even though.
Mm-hmm. I say what you do is sign it and cross that part out.
Yeah, yeah.
Move forward.
Yeah, right. So I don't know what happened there. I do know, and it's very interesting, other than the pool issue, the Press and Guide website where they tabulate the stories that people are most interested in, it's still number two to find out what's happening with Hakeem Fakhouri. But he has a big family in town, so maybe they're...
And it's ongoing drama. I mean, it's a presence on Michigan Avenue and elsewhere.
So we won't know till next week from the papers, folks. I guess I could call somebody on that one. So in West Dearborn development stories, Chili's, is that how it's pronounced? Chili's,
yes.
Chili Bar. Chili's Chili. Chili's Chili Bar.
You've got it.
Is staying. There was rumors that they were going to move out of West Dearborn, but they say they've just done some improvements to their deck, their patio area, and so why would they move now?
So they're going to chill.
Yeah, and especially if they go outside today. And tomorrow is quite cold. But Hooters is coming. Hooters is coming to West Dearborn. That's what we need in Dearborn, more Hooters bars and grills and
it's about time.
Semi-naked, you know what. I had your mic down, Dennis, but let's go on record. How do you feel about Hooters, Dennis?
And remember, your wife listens.
It is about time. When my wife listens, she'll be employed.
Well, there we go. Bringing employment to the WHFR staff.
Oh, boy.
Breaking commentary.
Okay. Yeah, here comes Kristen, our community activist.
Yeah.
What do you have to say, Kristen?
Oh, boy.
We only got 11 minutes, Kristen.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, she's winding up and taking a deep breath.
Because she was out in Troy when the one moved licenses out in Troy. So,
actually, for the record.
Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go.
This turn up your radios, folks. Here on WHFR are not necessarily those of...
We've already done that before. Yeah. Get right to it.
Yeah, she better.
I actually do not oppose Hooters coming.
There you go. Okay.
I don't.
You've needed waitressing jobs yourself.
In the past, yes. I've been in the restaurant industry.
Would you consider Hooters, though, even if you qualified? And I don't want to say over the air if you're qualified or not, because that'd be sexist.
You know what? I think that is a personal decision.
Yeah,
I
agree.
That's a personal decision of whoever wants to take that type of position. I was a cocktail waitress out in Vegas.
Right.
Kind of the same type of uniform. And it's up to that individual. But as far as a business, Hooters actually brings in a lot of business. And they don't bring in business as far as, ruckus and bad reps and this and that. Generally, I find it tends to be the more religious organizations that usually object to something like that.
It says an unmentioned or an unconfirmed party is bringing Hooters in. So somebody is paying for the franchise to move here. And I doubt it's Mr. Fakhouri, since he's kind of holding on to his property with a shoestring, or maybe he's lost it, depending on what happened at the last city council meeting. But it looks like it's probably Michigan Avenue location, and probably in West Dearborn is what they're considering. But that's because the one in Taylor is closing. You mentioned Hooters does good business, not the one in Taylor. But in fact, I was driving down, it was supposed to be on, I was going to a WHFR benefit a year or so ago, and it was on Eureka, I think. And you might say, well, Eureka, that's Southland Mall, and that's got to be a good one. No, it's kind of buried off from that. There was like a service drive you had to drive down. Didn't go there. Honest, I didn't.
Nobody's pointing fingers.
Yeah.
I'm pointing fingers.
Just keep protesting.
I've eaten at a Hooters.
Okay.
How's
the food?
Actually, they have quite good food.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I'm a commercial for them, but I'm but I'm not.
Opinions expressed.
That waitress resume is coming back at them.
Any business, their success will depend on the support of the community. And I'm sorry, but right now, any type of restaurant that kind of has the monetary back up to be able to come in and develop and become a restaurant and attract people into the area. I mean, just because girls wear tight shirts,
They do that at some of the other places. No, you're
believe
right.
it or not, it's a draw.
Yeah. I can't quite figure it out. Anyway, no, it's Sonic's coming. That has an excellent track record. That'll do well.
And we report in the paper, too, that there's new owners now of Parisian Bistro, which had really cut back their hours at least a couple months ago, so they weren't even open, like for in the afternoons or for dinner much. So it looks like Parisian Bistro, formerly called Salad Bar, which I really love the salad bar menu. Parisian Bistro, if you hadn't been there from the when the last owners opened it, really had a very wide variety menu. Had a little bit of Middle Eastern, but it had I wouldn't say Parisian food or French food, but it had a little. It had a wide range of food choices, and I liked the place. But nobody seemed to want to go there. Maybe because they missed the salad bar concept. I know salad bar was great for lunch, and they had very few people going there for dinner. So they were hoping, I think, Parisian Bistro has got a supposedly even wider menu, has regular hours, although I didn't write them down what they are here, folks.
That's a relative term.
But their extra restaurant is now a cigar bar. And I forget what they're called, Bora Bora? That sounds Tahitian. But I think it's something like Bora Bora or Boom Boom or Bomb Bomb or something. And so they renamed that other part, that other establishment that's actually owned by the same people. And so we wish them well. And, of course, cigar bars, because of the smoking ban that's going to go into effect either May 1st or the 10th. Somebody said it's delayed. I didn't hear about that.
It's the 1st.
It's the 1st. Oakland County Executive Brooks Patterson, ironically, was going to sue the state, and it was on all the national TV news channels. And then just hours later, he said, no, I got too many complaints, so I'm going to back off.
Because I guess he declined the funding, the state funding, saying it wasn't enough. So I guess he's backed off of that, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
He was claiming it was, as we mentioned on this show, one of those unfunded mandates.
Right.
The state makes a regulation, but if there's extra cost to whoever has to put it in place, state won't pay for that.
But what do they have to, more than put, what are the costs?
Well, there's involved? You just probably lose the smoker business if the smokers can't get in and they still want to smoke.
No, but for the county. What is the cost? I mean, sending out people to check on the...
No, they're not even talking about enforcement. They don't have any extra money for enforcement. Mm-hmm. And one of the hookah bar people who didn't want to be identified, very brave person he is, because they might come after him. This was in one of the Dearborn papers this week, too. I thought, well, that's a good citizen. He says...
How many hookah bars are there?
There's a lot of hookah bars out there.
There's some restaurants
that have a
small section. They're not hookah by themselves, I don't think. Anyway, this guy says he has no plans to comply. He has to remain anonymous, but he said he'd appeal any citation. They do offer exemptions and exceptions for different businesses. He could apply for one of those. I think maybe the state of Michigan, if they allow cigar bars, maybe, even though it's just in our area, maybe a hookah bar, if you want to call it that, might be allowable, if that's all that happens. Interesting, in a cigar bar, you can't smoke a cigarette. Do you know that? No. You can only smoke cigars in a cigar bar.
I don't smoke.
Unbelievable. So.
But in a smoke shop, you can smoke whatever, right? Like if you go to a tobacco store.
Well, not whatever.
Pardon me?
Well... It has to be legal.
All right.
And licensed by the
state
of Michigan.
Thank you, Amy, for keeping me on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm. Once again.
We've got to wrap up here. We have only 4 minutes before the big band show, and we have only 4 minutes for you to call a pledge and be on record as supporting the new WHFR Journal. I mean,
it's been on for 100 years.
At least.
Yeah. Let's get those HFCC chappers out there.
Seems like 100 years for this show to this hour. We had to make believe and had to put words in Mayor O'Reilly's mouth, and he'll probably
I can put some words there.
Wash our mouths for us when he gets here.
Sitting in for Mayor O'Reilly.
In the future. Let me wrap up with a couple of topics here that I wrote down. I wanted to ask him, too, about the new Dearborn train depot. Is it on track?
Wow. How long did that take to come up?
You're on a roll, Jay.
We got the third. Yeah, you call and support Coronex Tons. 313-845-9676, option one. They got the $30 million from the federal government now. They said they could have it done in 2 years. Really? Is anybody breaking ground? Has the proposal gone out? No. I don't think so.
I was going to say rally.
I know that there are some problems with just getting the train here on time in the fall. They were going to have a demonstration of going back and forth to Ann Arbor, and they ran out of money for that. But does that hold up the train station? Well, something we've got to find out about.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about trains because my mom takes a train all the time to come from Kalamazoo to here, and her train is delayed all the time. All the time. Yeah. I mean, it's like one time she was supposed to be home at 6. The train was supposed to pull into Kalamazoo at 6:09. She didn't get in until 11:10.
Yeah.
In the evening.
Well, we need an express train between here and Chicago, certainly. And that probably requires extra tracks.
Well, yeah, but they're still talking about stopping.
I know.
Like, it's not just a straight shot. If it was a straight shot, then that train will actually make it there.
But there's also the slowdown around Gary, Indiana, which is not the the most beautiful or perfumed place to slow down the train.
Did you say perfumed? Home of the Jackson 5.
It needs perfume. It's smelly. I'm sorry. They're in another state. They probably can't sue me. But it is not just not attractive
to
go
cover
through
yourself.
All of those refineries and industry. But it's a slowdown. It doesn't smell good. I don't know. When is the Dearborn Animal Shelter going to get its new home? Now, the city is... The volunteers run it, but the city controls the building. And I was at the Dearborn Animal Shelter a couple weeks ago donating some cat food to them. And it's so crowded. I mean, they're doing the best they can. They got volunteers like we do, and they got to have a new facility, City of Dearborn. They've got to. Last but not least here, June 4th, we are confirmed, special edition of the new WHFR Journal all morning long when the Dearborn Farm Market opens. So we're going to be there on Friday morning, June 4th, have an extended 4 or 5 hour show. They open at 7. You're going to be available, Dennis?
I will make sure. You are kidding.
Well, maybe for lunch we can go to Hooters with Kristen.
All right. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
We'll get her a discount.
Yeah. So we're here for you folks. We really are. We don't do this because... we're having too much fun, although times we get a good joke in every now and then.
Once or twice. We'll keep the puns away.
Right,
Jay?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Kristen says so. You need to call what number?
Pledge for a pun, 313-845-9676 or 1-800-585-HFCC. If you hit option one, it'll get to anybody here in the studio. We'd be more than happy to take your pledge. And please remember, we have been broadcasting for 25 years, and it's only because of the support of you listeners out there. 60% of our operating budget comes from you. So please give us a call, 313-845-9676, option one. Or go to our website, whfr.fm. You can fill out a form there.
And last but not least, if you're listening to the show on its archive from our website after Friday, April the 16th, you can still call and pledge. We're not going to talk about it on the air because we promise not to. Isn't that wonderful? But you can still pledge on the website. You can still call that number and leave your name and address, and we'll get back to you. We need your support. We need it all year long. Maybe we'll see you at the Blues Benefit tomorrow night at New Place Lounge, in fact. You can give us... the real green there if you want to. This is WHFR Dearborn. Thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal. Thanks to all our WHFR volunteer staff, Dennis, Amy, Kristen, and Mike in the Studio B.
Ooh, Mike.
By the phone. That number, I'm going to go off with the phone number. You keep it in mind, 313-845-9676. Option one, call right now. Coming up, Joanne Korchinska and Highway 61 Blues.